the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
The Gulf South.
It's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Monday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quevedo and Damian Collado. Hey, guys. Happy
Good
Monday.
Good morning. Happy
Good morning.
Monday.
Salute.
Yes. Today's the Feast of St. Dominic. So you all ready to pray?
Yeah, yes.
All right. Yes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. May St. Dominic come to the help of your church by his merits and teaching, O Lord. And may he, who was an outstanding preacher of your truth, be a devoted intercessor on your behalf. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Dominic, pray for us.
Pray for us. We have a great show for you today, a really full show, actually, starting off with David Dawson Jr. He joins us. He's the director of the Office of Parish Support for the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux. And today he's going to be talking about an event called the St. Vincent 500, benefiting the St. Vincent Pharmacy. So he will give us details about that. That'll be in about 7 minutes. Alan Migliorato joins us in 18 minutes. He's a co-author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. And we're continuing our discussion on back to school. So a lot of students have started. Some are starting this week. Some are starting next week, pretty much the whole month. So we'll give you tips with Alan on getting into the back to school routine. Dr. Tina Holland joins us in 35 minutes. She's the president of Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady University in Baton Rouge, and she's going to be giving us her monthly update. And Father Mike Feinkel Giesler in 48 minutes joins us to talk about his book, How Christ Saves Souls, with us, The Mystery of Co-Redemption. So an interesting topic, Damian, to end our show today with Father Michael. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, it is. I'm really looking forward to finding out more about that. As far as our weather goes, 50-50 chance of rain, primarily in the afternoon, no different than what we've been experiencing for the last
Surprise!
3 weeks. And we are going to experience it all this week, folks. So it's going to be carbon copy one day after the next. High is going to be 91, low 73. Clouds and rains have basically kept the temperatures below normal for our area, which is nice. So we shouldn't complain too much about the wet stuff when our neighbors in Texas are dried out to the bone.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And temperatures over 100 degrees in most cities each and every day. So we've been blessed in that regard. But other than that, temperatures in and around the area warming up already. Bay St. Louis is the warm spot, 82. Over in New Orleans, 81. Houma Thibodaux, 77. In Baton Rouge, it's 75. So just keep the umbrella and rain jacket handy. You can't go wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you said that, Damian, because my brother in Texas, they haven't had rain in over 3 months.
Yes.
Oh, my
so
goodness.
They're
it's
desperate for some rain.
There's a
right
lot
now.
Of areas over there drought, so we need to pray for them.
No kidding.
And ask the good Lord to share that rain with them for a little while. Because we can
definitely
dry out a little bit. I don't
we
know
could.
About that. I
we
mean,
could.
We sometimes, you know, it's the afternoon showers aren't bad, but then you get, sometimes you get these monsoons in about 30 minutes, and all of a sudden you got flooded streets, and you're fighting that for about an hour or two.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, just a little heads up.
That's right. That's right. Save that rainwater. Send it to Texas.
Yeah. Well, don't go away because we have our gospel and gospel reflection. And a lot more, some events to talk about as well, especially in Houma Thibodaux, here on Wake Up.
Mm-hmm. A good Monday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. As Jesus and his disciples were gathering in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day." And they were overwhelmed with grief. When they came to Capernaum, the collectors of the temple tax approached Peter and said, "Does not your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes," he said. When he came into the house, before he had time to speak, Jesus asked him, "What is your opinion, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take tolls or census tax? From their subjects or from foreigners?" When he said, "From foreigners," Jesus said to him, "Then the subjects are exempt. But that we may not offend them, go to the sea, drop in a hook, and take the first fish that comes up. Open its mouth and you will find a coin worth twice the temple tax. Give that to them for me and for you."
Thank you, Father Chris. And yes, you know, it's important to be a follower of Christ, and we should heed those words. And yes, sometimes we are treated like foreigners, you know, but you know what? We need to stand up and do what God is calling us each and every day. And I know a young man in the Houma Thibodaux area by the name of David Dawson Jr., director of the Office of Parish Support in the diocese there. Big event coming up entitled the St. Vincent 500. No, it's not an auto race, but it is benefiting St. Vincent Pharmacy. Good morning, Dave. Tell us a little bit about this special event.
Good morning.
Yeah, so we've got a group of guys down here, got a faith-based exercise group, a bunch of men, and we get together a few times a week, early in the morning, outdoors. It's faith-based. It's called F3. It stands for Faith, Fellowship, and Fitness. And one of the things, it's a national group, but our Thibodaux chapter was looking to do something to make a difference in the community. It's one of the tenets of this organization. And so one of the guys, Devin Owens, Dr. Devin Owens, was looking to get involved with some charity work on the medical side of things, and found the St. Vincent de Paul Pharmacy. And saw that they needed some financial support, that they've got an incredible organization, and they do amazing work in the diocese. They provide help with prescription medications and other medications for those who can't afford it, people who struggle to be able to afford, you know, regular insulin, you know, things for diabetics and that kind of thing that mm-hmm. they need. This is lifeline stuff that they're not able to get on their own. And so St. Vincent de Paul Pharmacy has been providing that for years in this area, and recently have been, after the hurricane and everything, are having trouble coming, you know, with volunteers and with the money needed to keep doing what they're doing. They're going to keep doing what they're doing, but we felt like we needed to put a big effort into supporting them. And so we put together a couple of things. One is we've got Bourgeois Meat Market has donated a lot of their burgers, which around here, that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. Bourgeois burgers are a big deal. Uh-huh. And so we've got a burger cookout out in front of the Live Oak subdivision off Highway 308. We're going to have burger plates for $10 a piece. We've been selling tickets for a few weeks, and we've been getting a lot of great interest on that. We've got hundreds of tickets sold, and we've got so we'll have live music out there by Mark Dufresne and Tyler Neal, a couple of guys who are involved in the community here. We're putting some live music on the bandstand. We're going to have kids games, a lot of fun out there this Friday evening. And then the St. Vincent 500 actually refers to a race. So this fitness thing is a lot of, you know, body weight fitness, a lot of creativity, a lot of fun. And so we've got a men's fitness competition, like a race around the neighborhood on Saturday morning. And we've already got, you know, between 20 and 30 participants, but we're open to anywhere. It's open to any man, any age, any fitness level. It's not going to be dangerous or anything. It's going to be a blast. We're going to have guys that are just cranking it out. We're going to have guys who are just getting started who've never been out of here before. So that's going to also be raising funds on a donation level for the same thing. So we've got matching funds from the F3 Foundation up in North Carolina. They're going to be helping out with raising money. And so it's going to be a blast. We're going to have a good time this weekend and raising money for a good cause.
So this fitness race you're referring to, it almost sounded like it may be an obstacle course to go along with it. Is it anything like that or no?
There's a lot of creativity there. So basically we're going to have stations at which, you know, you run, you get to a station, and let's say it's you know, burpees or push-ups or something like that. You can do a certain amount to get either bronze, silver, or gold, and you get a certain amount of points for reaching that many reps. And so you and your teammate, two-man teams, and you and your teammate have to combine to get a certain number. So you got to decide, how much energy do I have? How much time do I have? How much do I want to save up for the next station? So a lot of decisions to be made. So it's kind of a strategy slash fitness slash just fun partner activity. Then we come back, we'll keep the score. We got kids involved. I got three of my boys are going to be doing it. You know, so it's any age that's going to be out there. So a lot of camaraderie, but it's also going to be a blast. We got people coming from the North Shore, people coming from New Orleans to come participate in it. So we're going to have some pretty heavy hitters, and we're going to have some folks. Okay. So we're going to have a good number of people who've never been out here before. So it's open to anybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. And yeah, I was wondering when you said fitness and race, I just figured they had to be something more than just running in your neighborhood.
Yes.
Yeah. So
yeah, but it's basically going to be 20 stations. Each has a different exercise or activity that goes with it.
All right. And what if someone wants to come and just watch, not necessarily participate?
Yeah.
I'm sure you're accepting donations outside of the fact that you might get a burger for it. But how much money is needed? What are y'all trying to raise?
Well, our goal is $10,000. I think we might actually top it. But we're shooting to do this annually. But we've got we've already got a bunch of sponsors, but we're certainly open to more sponsorships. From different companies in the area, and then we just got a bunch of donations. We've been selling tickets outside of masses, and then the guys who are racing themselves. And so if you want to check it out, so if you just go on Facebook and look up St. Vincent 500, you're going to find it. It's an F3. We got our own logo and everything, so it's going to be easy to tell that this is like a, it's got, you know, the flag like a car race or something like that. Checkered flags.
Right.
So it's easy to find. So St. Vincent 500 on Facebook.
That's awesome. And benefiting the St. Vincent de Paul Tri-Parish Community Pharmacy, I think that's a great effort and a lot of fun to go along with it.
Yeah.
Congratulations, and we wish you great weather and much success, David.
Thank you, man. We'll be doing it rain or shine. So if you feel like coming, we'd love to have you.
Well, there you go. And again, the dates one more time for everything.
This weekend, the 12th and 13th. So the 12th Friday night will be the burger cookout with the live music. And then the 13th in the morning, 7 a.m., will be the fitness race.
There you go. All right. You're going to get all the protein you need for the big event.
There you go. So,
there you go. All right. Well, look.
Thanks, guys.
You bet. You have a good one, pal. Well, Big Al Migliorato is coming up next. He's always here to talk about your teens as well as his own. Mm-hmm. And it is 15 after the hour on Wake Up on a Monday morning.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for August 8th. Today we celebrate Saint Dominic. Today's saint was known for his preaching skills, but Dominic didn't always rely on words to get a point across. In the early 13th century, Father Dominic was commissioned to be part of the Church's preaching crusade against the Albigensian heresy. Its many followers regarded created matter as evil. Their idea of perfection called for a very strict diet and abstinence from sexual intimacy. Though extreme, their beliefs and values were popular because they provided such a great contrast to the corrupt lifestyle of most of the clergy. To reach the people, Dominic adopted an austere lifestyle, traveling barefoot as he preached from place to place. After 10 years of continuous preaching, he was successful in reclaiming ordinary people to Catholicism, though not the Albigensian leaders. The order of preachers began when Dominic founded a religious house at Toulouse, France, where he and his fellow preachers gradually became a community. In 1221, Dominic died shortly after delivering his final sermon to the Dominican brothers. He was canonized 13 years later. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Good morning. It's 19 minutes after the hour on Wake Up. I'm Alicia Quibido with Damian Collado and Gabby Smith. We're so glad you're with us on this Monday morning. Say my youngest is at sophomore orientation at St. Michael today, or he's headed there. See? He gets to sleep in. He's headed there. So Alan and I were chatting. We thought it's a great time to talk about back to school. Alan Migliorato joins us. Alan is the author of The Manly Art of Raising a Daughter and co-author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. Good morning, Alan.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Great, great. I'm kind of glad I'm not the one going back to school today. But anyway, so let's talk about sending our kids back to school and how to get them off on that right step. Right foot, I guess I should say.
One thing that I'll tell you is it gets under my skin, and I'm trying to think of a better way to say that. One of my pet peeves that just bothers me is when you talk about back to school and parents say right in front of their kids, "Thank God, I can't wait to get this kid back to school so I can have some time on my own."
I
don't like that. It really rubs me the wrong way. You know, I know this is not our topic, but like a husband will say that about his wife, or a wife will complain about her husband.
Yes.
Like, we got to be so grateful for the gifts of having our families. And I understand, like, you know, it's exhausting, you know, trying to do something and plan something every day of the summer. And if you've done that, then shame on you, because they should have had some downtime. But, you know, I don't like when parents react that way. I can't wait till you get back to school and you'll be somebody else's problem. I heard a parent say that one time. I didn't even know this parent. And we were back to school. And, like, when the kids went, you know, with the teacher, I said, "Hey, buddy." I said, "Can I tell you something?" I said, "It's none of my business." And he laughed. He was like, "Oh, it's not a big deal." I mean, my wife's like, "Oh my gosh, shut up. Don't say anything. It's not, like, mind your own business. That is not your kid." And I'm like, I have to say something. So I was like, man, like, you know, that sticks with them. That sticks with these kids. When they think that they're a problem, then, you know, then they're going to act like a problem. When they're somebody else's problem, that's what they'll live up to. Mm-hmm. So, like, don't say that to your kids. Like, my gosh.
Right.
I know that parents react in different ways, you know, and I just think when kids think that they're a problem, they will live up to that expectation.
I agree. And you know, you never know what, even if it's said in jest, they can internalize that. Gosh, you know, they want to get rid of me.
Well, you don't want school, if it's starting at the beginning of the school year, you don't want them to think that they're going to a prison
punishment.
Camp or something.
It's a punishment.
School's an education, should be fun.
Keep on saying to my son,
not a place for problem children,
like,
you know?
Yeah. Excited.
Well, I don't know.
Well, I think a good time of year where when you're going back to school and you have that list, you know, that the teachers put out, that half the things that you're not going to need, but you buy them anyway.
Right.
And I think a good idea is to go to the school, you know, to the store with your kids and let them shop.
Sure.
But we've done with our kids sometimes is to say, hey, you know, you need crayons. What's the best deal you can get on crayons?
Yeah.
You know, and kind of teach them some economics at the same time, because that's something they don't really teach in school that they should.
You're right.
You know, how to find good deals and how not to, you know, drive to 5 stores to save 3 cents.
Goodness.
And,
yes.
You know, and it's good balance of economics there. So there's a lot of opportunity that you can take advantage of when kids are going back to school.
You're right. Boy, that's one of my pet peeves, Alan, buying the new school supplies, and at the end of the school year, they come back just as new looking as you sent them. Let's update that back to school list. Well, so let's talk about, we've talked with other folks about, we were talking to Scott Smith the other day about blessing your children. Talk about blessing your children to send them off to school. Whether you have done it since they started preschool or not, let's talk about that.
So every parent, I think, does that in a different way. Some, like you said, don't do it at all because they don't want their kids to feel awkward. But you've got to be move beyond the feeling awkward. If you feel uncomfortable doing it as a parent, maybe that's something that you need to grow with.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if you just make, you know, like, make the sign of the cross on their forehead before they leave and say, "God bless you, I hope you have a great year this year," you know, "and I'm proud of you." It can be something as simple as that. I mean, it doesn't have to be in Latin and 45 minutes long. It can just be, you know, a simple blessing, like, "God bless you. I hope that you have a wonderful year. Make some friends. And no matter what, I still love you," you know?
Yes.
"But you better get an A on that test." But you can even make it like, you can even joke around with them a little bit. But still, I think it's an important thing to do.
Yes. Well, and really to set that tone for starting the year off well, and to give them that, I think that blessing really makes you feel like you're not on your own, to know that your parents are sending you off with that.
Yeah, and if, a lot of times, you know, if you have like a religious article that they can carry with them, you know, if it's a rosary or a small pocket cross, or a holy card or a scapular, I mean, those things are great, you know, and that's not where the power is, but it represents where the power is. And so, like, we've got to remind our kids, you know, like, hey, if you're having, you know, if you're struggling during the day or if you're having any problems. And that leads me into one thing I want to say. When kids come home from their first day of school, it's kind of like coming home from a retreat. You're like, okay, tell me everything.
Yeah.
They are just overwhelmed.
Right.
You know, they are overwhelmed. And I know, like, good parents, you know, like, we want to hear it all. We want to be like, okay, who'd you sit by? What'd they wear? You know, what color shoes did they have on? And it's good, but, like, it's almost like, you know, we're interrogating our,
yes.
our kids. Like, tell me the truth, you know, as soon as they get home. And we got to just give them a minute, you know, tell me about your day and
yes.
leave it at that. And then it'll come out, like with my kids, it'll come out a whole day at a time. You know, they'll give me a little bit more and a little bit more. And it's because they're processing.
Right.
Yeah.
I love about the drive home.
I never realized it, but my mom always had a snack for us, whether she made a cake,
yeah.
cupcake,
yes.
you name it. Always had something on the table when we walked in the door.
Nice.
So we'd
yeah.
sit around the table, mm-hmm. and indirectly, now that you mention it, Alan, she would ask questions, but not in an integrating style.
Right.
And then we would start conversing amongst ourselves.
Yeah.
She'd just kind of stand back and listen, you know,
yep.
and find out everything
mm-hmm.
what was going on just
right.
among us.
That's what the car ride
yeah.
home is
yeah,
good
we
for,
use
too.
The,
if you...
We use the how was your day, you know, and or
yes.
what happened today, anything
yeah.
happened today, and just kind of leave it blank.
Mm-hmm.
And my kids do that to me, too. And of course, you know, the first answer is, all right, it's
yes.
good.
Yes, yes.
And then you go, okay, anything happened? No.
No.
All right, and we'll eat dinner, and we'll start talking about something else. And they'll be like, oh, my gosh, by the way, this kid that sits next to me, like, you know, smells like ham. And it's like, what do you mean it smells like ham? Like, just like, you get some of the weirdest things, and it's like, well, tell me about that. What do you mean? Like, you want crackers to bring with you to school to, like, round it off? Like, you never know, you know? You never know what's coming out.
That's so funny. Yeah. We always start, when our daughter, our oldest, started school, you know, when you start the how's your day, it's always fine. But I had heard someone talking about how to talk to your children so that they talk back to you, you know, so that they answer and not just yes, no questions, asking those open-ended questions. And so I always ask if anything new and exciting happened. Well, once your son gets to high school, nothing new or exciting ever happens. Just saying.
Of course not.
But then, like you said, at the dinner table, you find out a little bit more about what's going on with them and how the year is off.
Yeah, food is a great way.
Yeah,
you know, food is a great way, especially for teens to start connecting. They love to eat, you know, and it's a time where they can just kind of, they forget where they're at or who they're talking to, and they just kind of spill.
Yeah.
I remember one time my daughter telling me, she's like, I can't believe I just told you everything about my day in like at dinner. She goes, how do you do that? And I'm like, how do I do what? You know, like, what
yes.
are you talking about? I know what I'm doing, but how do you know I know what I'm doing? You know?
They're on to you, Francis. No.
They're on to me.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, give us another, just a couple of tips for that first week. We talked about blessing our children. Talk about how important it is to pray for your children, and not necessarily with them, but for them.
Well, I like the with, too. But, you know,
okay.
when they're not around, like the with to me is super important.
Yes.
When they're not with you and you're praying for them. Even just say a prayer on the way home. Turn the radio off mm-hmm. after you drop them off at school
mm-hmm.
and say, you know, however it comes to your heart. I always say, God, please protect my kids. Help them, keep them healthy, happy, safe, strong, and focused on you. And, like, that's my quick prayer, and I kind of leave it at that, and I got to trust God. You know, sometimes we pray to God, like, the more that we ask, the better he hears us, you know? And I think that we've got to trust that he hears our prayer and he knows where we mean it. Doesn't mean that we don't have to keep praying, but
you're
throw
right.
in there a thank you once in a while. Thank you for my family, and thank you for everything. If everything ended right this second, God forbid, I would still have blessings and thanks to give to God.
Yes. Great advice. That's great advice. Alan, let our listeners know where they can find out more about you and get your books.
Sure. You can check us out on Facebook at Adventure Catholic or AdventureCatholic.com, and you can reach out to me that way.
Okay, great. There's lots of wonderful resources. You can watch videos and listen to some podcasts of Alan's, and also check out his books. Thanks so much, Alan Migliorato, AdventureCatholic.com. Talk to
God
you
bless,
next week.
Guys.
God bless you, Alan. Ah, great. Well, Gabby's son started school last week. And my mm-hmm. son's first day, official day, will be Wednesday. And then our daughter heads back to college already. I'm sad to see my kids go. But I am, you know, one thing that I am happy about is that our son is almost 16, and I don't have to pack his lunch anymore.
He does it himself.
He does it himself. I don't know why packing a lunch has just been like my nemesis over the years. I don't know what it is about packing a lunch, but it's just the only thing, part that I like about it is writing the note on the napkin.
Oh, that is cute.
Maybe after all the lunches you packed, it's wise that he's packing his own lunch.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
He's finally getting so many likes.
I don't know about that. I'm a pretty good lunch packer. It's just it gets so boring. I don't know. Something about it. And it's funny because I've talked to other moms who feel the same way. But we hope everybody, the teachers, administration, staff, and students are all off to a great start of the school year this year. Hey, stick around. Speaking of school, Dr. Tina Holland, President of Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady University, joins us with an update. It's half past the hour on Wake Up.
It is 35 past the hour. Thanks so much for being with us on this beautiful Monday morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and Alicia Quibido. Our next guest is Dr. Tina Holland. She's a president of Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady University, or FRANU, in the Baton Rouge area. Good morning, Dr. Holland.
Good morning. How are you today?
I am doing so good, and it's so good to see these wonderful topics we're going to be covering today. And the first one I wanted to discuss is your new Registered Behavioral Therapy Certification Program. Give us details about this and the importance.
Oh, certainly. First of all, it's called RBT, Registered Behavioral Therapy, and RBT program is really the only one of its kind in Louisiana, in that it is not entirely online. It is not sort of that production line approach to training, but really is much more aligned to our mission of education and formation, though there is an online element to it in order to allow for a certain amount of flexibility for working adults. It's meant to address the critical shortage in behavioral therapy. And if you're not familiar with behavioral therapy, that is a method that's found to be the most effective approach to helping young people who are on the autism spectrum. And it also has been found to be effective in serving the needs of seniors with various forms of dementia, especially Alzheimer's disease. This program is, the problem with the purely online programs, of course, is that the limitations to what we call relationship-based education and that dialogue, the interchange of ideas, and overall, it tends to compromise the quality because this is such a hands-on profession. Online programs lack that experiential element. Mm-hmm. So having both the online element for convenience as well as those hands-on experiences, which we really rely on our partners, our hiring partners, to provide, really make the program unique. It's an 8-week program.
Go ahead, Dr. Holland. I was going to say, I've seen so many, not so much documentaries, but I've done so much research on kids on the autism spectrum and parents who need that support and want that support for their child, even if it's communication skills or anything where their child feels included in a group, and I think this is so important. Like you were about to say, you said it takes about, is it 8 months or 8 years to complete this certification program?
It's an 8-week program. That's all it is.
For
this certification, which actually makes it, on the flip side, for the student, it's a great opportunity for entry level folks, for people who are, discerning some sort of helping field, who are wanting to get into the workforce in the helping field, at a relatively low investment of time and money, one can earn a living wage and make a huge mm-hmm. difference in the life of others.
That's amazing. I feel like every time we talk to you, you have a new program either in the works or you're starting a new program that covers a different part of what people need. When can people register? Is there a deadline or is it kind of whenever?
Well, I would, those details, I would say go to our website, www.franu.edu, and go into the academic programs. This is a program within our psychology, under the auspices of psychology. And the neat thing about this being a certificate program is it's your first mm-hmm. step into then, like while you're working, you could then enroll in the next level of certification to work at yet a higher level of skill in the same field so that you can constantly grow. There's a nice progression for advancing in the field, and this is that first step.
Wow, wonderful. Give us details also about the Franciscan experience.
Oh boy, we had such a wonderful turnout this last year. The Franciscan Experience 2022 was historically the largest with 35 students.
Wow.
And I had the great blessing of attending the closing ceremonies. And I think there were a lot of things I was grateful for when I was attending those ceremonies, but what I really focused on were the parents. The families who shared their young people with us were clearly dedicated to raising up really good young people. I mean, these were just all different kinds of young high school age kids, but all of them just good to the bone, and really gave me hope, because there is the cultural forces these days really require courage in one's faith, and it requires action. And these kids have it. And it's because of their upbringing that they have such strong faith and they have such courage to live their faith. So I can't say enough about the wonderful families that are raising up these kids, because we're really going to depend on them.
Oh my goodness.
There's such a critical need for servant leaders like these young people who participate in TFE and then come on, graduate from TFE. Then sometimes they attend several times. Then a good number of them, I'm going to say since the program started, 18% of those kids have actually matriculated to be full-time students at FRANU. So we get the real blessing of continuing to educate and form these young people. It's a really great program for introducing them to the mission, to helping them to grow in their faith, and to give them some exposure to an opportunity to continue to grow in their faith should they continue to, they want to matriculate to FRANU or to another faith-based institution. But to have an 18% matriculation rate of full-time students to FRANU is pretty phenomenal. And
that is really
I also
good.
Wanted to share that that we have seven of the students who have enrolled are all university scholars. Three of them have earned full scholarships to FRANU.
Wow.
So
that's amazing.
It shows that they're just not only a good mission fit, they are top notch students.
Absolutely. That's a big deal, a full ride. That's amazing. And you're going to get quality education over at FRANU in Baton Rouge. Dr. Holland, where can people go to find out more information, especially with the new Registered Behavioral Therapy Certification Program?
Okay, come to our website, www.franu.edu. It's a very easily navigable website. Go to Academic Programs. and to psychology or ABA therapy or RBT, RBT certification. All of that is under the auspices of the psych program here at FRANU.
So important. Thank you so much, Dr. Tina Holland, for joining us and looking forward to speaking with you next month. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Always a jam-packed segment, you guys, with Dr. Holland. She has such wonderful information. Definitely check them out, franu.edu. They also have theology classes as well, in collaboration with the Diocese of Baton Rouge, so definitely check those out. Father Michael Giesler joins us when we come back from the break. It is 45 past the hour on Wake Up.
Happy Monday morning, St. Dominic Feast Day. So glad you could join us. 48 after the hour, 12 before the top of the hour. And I'm Damian Collado, along with Gabby Smith, Alicia Quibido, and our special guest, Michael Giesler, is a priest with the Order of Opus Dei who lives in St. Louis, Missouri. And he has written a trilogy of books about the early Christians and their transforming influence in the world during the first centuries after Christ. And he also has taught and offered spiritual direction for both priests and laymen for over 40 years. Now, he doesn't look as old as that sounded, just letting y'all know, okay? But he's got a great book out right now, How Christ Saves Souls with Us, The Mystery of Co-Redemption. Good morning, Father Michael.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on the program.
Well, we're glad to have you on the show, and tell us a little bit about the purpose of this book, because I think it's very timely.
Well, yes, I think it is very timely. I've always been fascinated by the expression co-redemption.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds very exciting, and that we're all part of this great effort to save the world. Of course, Jesus, we know, is the only Redeemer, but somehow he puts us into the action, if I could say it that way, and he works through us. So I was fascinated by that idea, and also by the novels that I wrote about the early Christians and how they redeemed the world in their time. So I figured this is a good message also for 2022. We all have to help to redeem the world as it is. That was why I really wrote the book. Yes,
and we can learn from past history more than anything else. And if we're asked to be disciples of Christ, co-redemption falls right into place, in my opinion.
Oh, yes, it does. Yes, it does. Jesus, as a matter of fact, when he told his apostles, go forth and preach to all nations, he was giving them somehow the power to co-redeem, because mm-hmm. he was always with them in their preaching and in their sufferings, and especially the early Christians. He's always with them, and he's with us, by the way, too, in our efforts to redeem the world with Christ. So I thought it was a very timely message, important book to write.
Yeah, and a lot of people think that, oh, well, I'm praying, so that's good enough. But it really isn't, huh, Father?
No. Well, prayer is part of it.
Sure. Oh, yeah, I'm not knocking. Yes, prayer is part of it. But there's works that go along with that.
Oh, yes. I always say it's prayer and sacrifice that will do the trick. Prayer is important, but we have to get out there also and suffer also with Jesus if we want to redeem people. We have to speak up, too. We just can't be silent in our little room. We have to go and really speak with people and give witness. That's the exciting part of co-redemption.
And doesn't it help the individual, us, as well in the process of our salvation?
Oh, it certainly does. Yes, because in some way, again, quoting from the scripture from St. Paul, we do become like another Christ. Remember, that's an expression from St. Paul.
That's right.
Be another Christ. And so by making this effort to give witness and redeem, we are becoming Christ himself. He works within us. That's the great mystery of co-redemption. He allows us to get right there with him, helping people.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've done spiritual direction, so I'm sure this topic has come up, not only the suffering, but the sacrifice. In today's world, especially with the younger generations, everything's been given to them, or their expectation is that I should have it if I want it. Mm-hmm. I that's a big challenge, and that's why I feel like this book is important, especially for all of us, but the younger generation who has to, I don't think has a good handle on what suffering and sacrifice is all about.
Yes, yes, and that concerns me, and I'm sure it concerns you and probably everyone on this program.
Mm-hmm.
Why are so many young people kind of alienated from religion, or why don't they go to church or believe in God? And I think somehow we adults, older people, if I can say mm-hmm. that, we have to kind of reach them, and we reach them through prayer and sacrifice. So I think there's hope for this generation, but we just can't give up. We have to keep trying to win back those young people.
So what would you, what's your big takeaway? If someone were to pick up this book, what is it that you hope they take away from it?
Well, I would say confidence. Confidence and hope that if they pray and, as you mentioned, sacrifice, they can really do great good in the world. They can co-redeem. Mm-hmm. They can transform the world like the early Christians do. My hope is that people who read this book will have that sense of mission and a certain joy to go for it and not get discouraged by all the bad stuff mm-hmm. going on. And there's lots of bad stuff. I can't deny it.
Mm-hmm.
This book will help give them a lift, give them some hope to do something.
Is it true you sent it to all our political politicians in Washington, D.C.? I'm joking.
I'd like to send my book to a few of them. I won't mention any names. I would like a few of them to read my book. Yes, thank you for the plug. I don't know if they'd read it or not. That's the question. But that's right.
Them. They probably put it on a shelf or give it to someone else and say, "Man, I don't need this. You do, right?"
Yeah.
they never need anything like this. They don't understand what suffering is. They leave that to us.
Right. Well, that's it. But I do pray for their conversion. Certain politicians
Amen.
That's important.
Really
Amen.
Need to mm-hmm. to do things. And but yes, I do hope the book can make a difference in some people's lives. Anyhow, to really be with Jesus and not give up. I think we all have to fight. This is. Not fight in a violent, mean way,
no.
but fight in a good, holy way mm-hmm. To bring Jesus to the world. And that's why I wrote the book, How Christ Saves Souls With Us.
Yes.
He's the main guy, of course. He's the main one, but somehow he works through us in,
yes.
some wonderful way.
And we could find joy in the suffering and sacrifice is the bottom
yeah.
line.
Oh, yes, we can. As a matter of fact, St. Jose Maria, I'm a priest of Opus Dei, by the way,
mm-hmm.
And I was inspired greatly by his writings because he speaks about that a lot, co-redemption, that we are co-redeemers. So get out there and don't be afraid to give witness to Jesus in the middle of the world. He speaks a lot about that. I also found that quite inspiring as I wrote the book.
Father Michael Geisler, the book, How Christ Saves Souls With Us, The Mystery of Co-Redemption, where can they go to get a copy if they need one?
Well, of course, Amazon is the super supplier of everything these days, so
mm-hmm.
I guess you can get something on Amazon. But it's Emmaus Road Publications in Steubenville that actually produced the book, and you can also get it from there. So either Emmaus Road website or Amazon. And also, I understand it's in other bookstores, Catholic bookstores now. They just have to maybe give a call and check.
Awesome.
I think it will be in several bookstores as well.
Very good. Would you mind leaving us with a blessing this morning on this feast day of St. Dominic?
Yes, yes. Well, St. Dominic and the Dominicans always said, what you contemplate, share with others. And I love that expression. So maybe that will end it with this blessing. As we contemplate Christ and the redemption that he brings to the world, please, Lord, help us to share that redemption with others through our sacrifice and joy. And may bless all of your listeners in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Michael Amen. Geisler, best of luck to you with your new book.
Well, thank you so much for having a chance to speak about it.
You got it. And we appreciate you being on Wake Up. Have a great day. God bless
yes.
you.
God bless you.
Thank you, Father. Wow.
He's a
I love him. I know. I love him. He needs to have a regular segment.
Father Michael Giesler, check out his book. Wonderful.
Yes. I'm sure if we take it chapter by chapter, we could have him on for a number of weeks.
Okay, Gabby, sign him up.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in this morning. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Another full show for you. We have Eileen Harbison with the Archdiocese of New Orleans Retreat Center. She joins us to talk about their upcoming gala with Chef John Fulce. Richard Meek with the Catholic Commentator joins us, as well as Matt Estrada with Peace with Dementia Rosary. And Lauren D. Witt is the board president of the Problem Pregnancy Center. She's going to tell us about their services right now for women. Have a wonderful Monday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.